Siggy was 11 when he died, killed in a road accident. For months after, his mother was completely inconsolable, lying day after day on her bedroom floor with her feet against the door so that no one else could come in, howling. Many years later, came words that Siggy's sister, Sally, heard with a thud of horror as Mamie, in the grip of dementia, asked her with a thoughtful look, "Now, remind me, who is Siggy?" Mamie could not remember her dead boy, not to mention her inconsolable grief. This book is called Where Memories Go. It's written by Sally Magnusson. Sally is everyone's favourite newsreader, including mine. But her book will last much longer than today's headlines. It's the story of the dementia, and I use the word because after long consideration of which word is the right one to use, it's the word that Sally Magnusson uses. This book is the account of the dementia of her mother, Mamie. And it is a wonderful book. Moving, touching, funny, shocking, terrifying. You might find, and I do hope you'll read the book, you might find that the bits that mean most to you are the very honest, very sensitive pages where Sally Magnusson reflects on her own feelings about a mother whom she has always loved and admired, and a mother who, in her dementia, can now treat her children with ferocious cruelty. She writes, "Dementia is one of the greatest social, medical, economic, scientific, philosophical, and moral challenges of our times." This book will make you think about all of these challenges. It will make you think about Playlist for Life, the charity set up to support people with dementia, with which our young people in Dunfermline Abbey are engaged. And it is bound. It is absolutely bound to make you think about God. Where is God? Where is a God of love in the agony, which is much more than memory loss? I'm going to say six things about dementia and God. Three things which I know are not true, and three things which I believe are true. First, it is not true that illness is ever a punishment. Not a punishment of the sufferer, not a punishment of the sufferer's family. You would not believe how often people blame themselves for an illness which they suffer or for an illness which loved ones suffer. There is not a hint of truth in the superstition that anybody has dementia because they've been bad people or because their family have been bad people. It is observably nonsense. We all know scoundrels who have not had a day's illness in their lives. I can name several to you later. And some of Scotland's greatest heroes are to be found in our children's hospices. It's nonsense, and Jesus says that it's nonsense. They're discussing with Jesus a man who's been born blind, and they say to him, "Who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus says, "Neither. Neither this man nor his parents has sinned." The second lie is that dementia is the will of God. How desperately sad it is that many people feel they have been taught to believe that everything that happens, however disgusting, is the will of God. God does not will harm for us. God does not will our hurt or our destruction or our damage. A train crash in Germany. A schoolgirl raped and tortured for 36 hours in Dunfermline. The death of a child. A personality destroyed by dementia. Nobody is asking you to believe that these things are God's will for us. What kind of God would will such things on his creatures? I refuse to believe in a God who is a monster. And I hope you also will refuse to believe in a brutal tyrant God. Christianity does not teach that God chooses to send us suffering. Another traffic death. When I was a student in New York, I occasionally attended the magnificent Riverside Church on the Upper West Side, built by John D. Rockefeller, because he didn't like his own minister and wanted to have another minister, and so built a church for him. The minister afterwards was a man called William Sloan Coffin, and his son died in a car crash. And in the sermon that Coffin preached after the devastation he had felt, he said, "Some of the best letters I received, and all of the worst letters, came from ministers." And sadly, you know what he means. It never helps to say, after a tragedy, "This must have been the will of God." It never helps to say, after any tragedy, and dementia is a tragedy, "This must have been the will of God." It is not true. And it does not help. And the third untruth is that ministers know the answers to the huge questions about evil and the love of God. How do you reconcile the existence of evil with faith in a God of love? A friend of mine in this congregation, an intelligent woman, said to me recently, "So you have doubts too? So you are human just like the rest of us?" And when she said it, she said more wisdom than perhaps she knew. Because to have doubts, not to understand, to cry out to God in pain and anger and disbelief, is part of what makes us human beings. Goldfish do not have doubts. Did you not hear the terrible agony in the psalm that David Williams read for us earlier, how long, O Lord, will you, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? But that does not mean that there is nothing to be said. There are three huge things that I believe about God and dementia. The first is this: no one, however lost, is ever lost to God. No sufferer from dementia, however far away, is ever far away from God. No loved one of yours, however damaged the things that once made that person so precious, no loved one of yours is ever anything but precious to God. There's a terrible chapter in Sally Bangerson's book. It's when her mother no longer knows her. And when Sally Magnuson bends to kiss her mother goodbye, her mother hisses fiercely, "You get your hands off me." How can they be the same person? The mother who promised that she would love her daughter as long as she had breath, and the mother who now confronts her daughter with loathing. She writes that she believes that somewhere deep inside her lost mother is still the core Mamie, no longer seen by the world, but still her true mother, that core person, that Mamie Magnuson, or the one you love, or those you will find in every hospital and care home in the land, that core person, invisible now to us, is never forgotten by God, always loved by God. And the second thing I believe to be true is this: if you are Sally Magnuson, desperate and frightened and angry and living with a sense of frustrated bereavement as the one you love disappears in front of your eyes, if you are that person, God does not forget you. One of the many cruelties of dementia is that it can go on for so long. In a crisis of acute illness in a loved one, people can sometimes find support from having things to do and from family around them and from their faith. But with dementia, the pain often goes on and on and on. And it is in these long, dark nights that God does not forget you. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Well, it may be that there are other valleys as long and as dark as the valley of the shadow of death. And if there are, then the 23rd Psalm is still true for them and for you. There was a sentimental song from the musical Carousel, which was adopted by the supporters of Liverpool Football Club. It became the team song on the Kop. In 1989, everything changed when 89 Liverpool supporters died in the Hillsborough disaster. Suddenly, that team song became for those families a vehicle of compassion and belonging and love and hope. Because what those families heard sung for them then and years afterwards in thousands and thousands of Merseyside voices, not always perfectly pitched, but everyone sincere, what they heard was these voices singing for them, walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. If you watch day by day with a dementia patient you love, you also need to hear that you'll never walk alone. God does not forget you. And the third thing I believe is this: God will heal every hurt. God will heal every hurt. In a moment we will sing, "We cannot measure how you heal." And we do not know how God will heal, but healing there will be. Nothing in life or in death is strong enough to tear us from the heart of God. Evil is not strong enough ever to have the last word. The last word may be beyond death, but the last word will be God's, and the last word will be healing. We read earlier verses from a New Testament vision of heaven. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. God will wipe every tear from every eye. It's a promise. It's a vision. We cannot know. We cannot imagine. But there will be healing. Unimaginable healing. And unimaginable light. And unimaginable love. And I fully expect unimaginable laughter. Amen.